Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show. What's up, guys? Real quick before we jump in, we're talking to Jelena again today with Imps. So, content warning, as usual, we talk about like a little religious trauma to an extent, just a tiny bit in this episode. And of course, some drugs and alcohol mentioned. And of course, just child stardom in Hollywood is abusive. So, you know, content warning, if you're more sensitive to some of those things, maybe skip this episode and come back for the next one. But other than that, everybody, please enjoy the episode. Well, everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm here with Imps again. Hi, Imps.
Hi.
And we're on our merry way back to, I don't know, the Jelena Forest, the Jelena Wonderland. I don't know why I'm calling it a place, but we're going to talk some more Jelena. And guys, let me go ahead and say, you know, the past 2 episodes, we have been sort of building up, setting the scene, establishing our podcast thesis, which, in my opinion, is that Jelena was sort of a contrived PR relationship that turned real, that ruined both their lives. And I think we're going to continue to prove that. But guys, if those episodes were not what you're used to from us, this one is going to be more what you're used to, because we are having lyric analysis on the tail end of the episode. So stick around. Even if you missed the other 2 episodes, that's fine. If you just want to hear about our analysis of the great music that came out of Jelena, we're going to get to that. But first, Imps, you just told me some crazy news that I wasn't even aware of, but you keep up with Selena more than me. Tell the listeners what we need to be looking for.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Selena is releasing a documentary called My Mind and Me, and it's set for release November 4th of this year on Apple TV. And the things that really made me sit up and pay attention to this, even more so than it just being Selena, is that a crew has been following her for the last 6 years. So that means it started in 2015, 2016. So are we going to get some Jelena in the doc? I think maybe, you know, I guess they could omit it altogether, but that would be a little strange in my opinion. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But here's the other thing that I'm like, oh my God. And I'm going to date myself. That's fine. I don't know what age range of listeners you have. However, the person who is directing Selena's documentary is the same person who did Madonna's 1991 music documentary, Truth or Dare. Mm-hmm. And even if you like weren't even born in 1991, I'm still hoping you know who Madonna is. Like, I think yes. And that you've heard Truth or Dare, like just maybe just heard it. You're not really sure, but you've heard that as associated to Madonna. This director is a big deal. His name is Alec. I'm going to butcher his last name, so bear with me. Keshishaniach? You know what? Forget it. Just Google him. I'll spell it. K-E-S-H-I-S-H-I-A-N. Alec with a K. So he's a big deal. He's responsible for a ton of music videos, like starting back in 1988 with Vanessa Williams. If you don't know who she is, you will when I say Disney's Pocahontas soundtrack, Colors of the Wind. That's Vanessa Williams. But he directed a bunch of Bobby Brown's music videos, one from Elton John, a couple of Madonna videos, and, you know, the Truth or Dare. That was one of her albums as well. So hopefully you can make the association. But he also directed Hands to Myself by Selena Gomez.
So that's the connection.
That must be.
So he has known her for a very long time.
Yeah. And if we are thinking, if the 6 years go back to 2015, 2016, Hands to Myself was 2015. So maybe that's when they decided to do this and have been recording it filming it ever since.
And if it does go back that far, which the article is talking about, they've been filming for the past 6 years. We should get Jelena on it, which would be very interesting. I mean, We know a lot about the relationship, but particularly Selena in her own words, I would be excited to see and see commentary on. I mean, are we going to have videos of her like as they break up for the last time in 2018, like talking about it, or like, you know, it's going to be very interesting. A couple other things I'd be interested to see. Is it going to comment on her sexuality? Like, is she ready for, you know, that to be a little bit even more public than it already is? I'm not gonna bank on it, but I would be really excited if it did. And then lastly, we're talking child stars these days. I mean, you know, Jeanette McCurdy's book, which Ems and I are going to review, I
I
think on the
listened
main
to
pod.
it.
It's great,
I
right?
finished it. I finished it in like a day. I'm obsessed.
Yes, guys, this is your call. If you want to be in the What I Will Say book club for an episode in the coming weeks, while Ems and I go over everything in the book, and also like we're gonna have some further context, some further gossip, and some takes, and how does this relate to, you know, our world, Taylor's world, everything we talk about here, right? So, go buy or listen to on Audible Jeanette McCurdy's book. It is an easy read. It is heartbreaking. Trigger warning for. Gosh, eating disorders,
Yeah.
childhood abuse, sexual
I mean,
abuse,
everything.
everything that can go wrong, alcohol, drug abuse, trigger warning for all that. But go listen to it. It's a great read. And it's also, I feel like it has really vindicated a lot of my ideas about how complicated stardom and the personal lives of people that are famous, you know, how complicated all of that is. And then, so I would be interested to see if this documentary for Selena goes into some of that. You know, it's not going to go all the way back to her childhood, but will she comment on it? Will she say, you know, she's talked about in the article, they're saying, oh, she was diagnosed with bipolar in 2020. So if we're talking, you know, mental illness diagnosis, is she going to talk about the roots of that? Which, you know, sorry, I find me a child star that's not mentally ill. Like, and I don't say that lightly. Like, I'm not trying to joke. Like, this business chews children up and destroys their lives. So, we're excited about this documentary coming out, and we'll all kind of maybe we'll have to watch it together or something, and then we'll have to jump on and you know, do some bonus episodes on it, perhaps, maybe a main pod episode. But Amps, thank you for tipping me off on that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I can't even begin to imagine the spectrum of content that she's that, I mean, it's 6 years. So yeah, I am excited, but I'm also like scared because it's not going to be pretty, all of it, you know?
That's going to be very interesting, and we'll be excited to watch that. So with all that said, do we want to jump into the timeline? Now we're going to talk about Jelena's relationship, the sort of the first era of it, the first 2 years of it, and then we're going to get into the music that resulted from those 2 years. So Imps, you've got the timeline. Do you want to take us through it?
Yep. So this may be a little overlap from the last episode, but we'll just do a recap and keep it moving. So the infamous quote unquote first date were the like blurry cell phone pics at an IHOP where Justin and Selena are sitting in the same side of the booth. But of course, you know, they're still being coy. And what is it? Selena says, "Oh, he's just one of my best friends. It was just pancakes, and that's all we get." As we move into 2011, there are some pictures of them New Year's Eve, January 2011, in St. Luca in the Caribbean. I don't know if you say Caribbean, either way, they were spotted, but in February 2011, it's official. They are seen making their red carpet debut at a Vanity Fair Oscars party. These photos subsequently coined the term Jelena, and everybody just lost their minds. And here we are today, still saying Jelena. So it definitely stuck. March 2011, Selena appears on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And again, she's playing coy. When Ellen asks her about the relationship, she goes, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He's just sweet." By May 2011, there's a lot of PDA at the Billboard Awards, and they kiss for the cameras on a nationally televised event. So right after that, they jet set off to Hawaii for a romantic vacation. And can I just say, reading this, in the detail that I have in my notes now, and also just being like old and thinking of like what a life. Like I can't even imagine being like 18, 19 years old, like, oh, let's just like go to Hawaii. Like I can't. Let's see. So yeah. So that was May 2011. August 2011, Selena is a co-host of the VMAs, MTV VMAs. And this was the, and I'm sure like the true fans that are listening, and anyone can go search this. This was the infamous, not infamous, but famous, where she's like on stage and she's talking in the microphone, and he like runs up and like puts this big old kiss on her cheek. And I remember it as it was like adorable. And I just saw it recently when I was putting my notes together. So that was super cute. And September 2011, they both attended Demi Lovato's concert in LA. And this was, and I know I talked about this last episode, this was also where Justin rented out the Staples Center and did the private viewing of Titanic. And tweeted, you know, romance isn't dead, treat your ladies right, fellas,
Which
which
is so ridiculous.
Justin. Oh, Justin. Okay. October 2011, they went to Rio de Janeiro, a romantic helicopter ride. And he's also, and we'll get into this, but everybody just remember this. Justin's also talking about, you know, starting a family, settling down in the next few years, which she would have been what, like 17,
Yeah,
18?
it's crazy. Selena has some comments about marriage as well for some of the music we'll get to. Remind me, when we talk about the song Slow Down. But you know, as a full grown adult that, and I'm not saying Selena and Justin didn't work hard for their money. I know they both were worked to the bone as little children. I'm not saying they didn't earn that money, but it does feel like surely they don't actually appreciate a luxury trip to Hawaii. Like they're just teenagers. Like surely, like as somebody who's like the adult and like, you know, has account dollars, and I would have loved, I really wanted to go to Hawaii. I like a romantic trip. Like Rio, that would be incredible. I feel like surely those kids did not know how good they had it,
No,
right?
not at all. Like I know that they both came from very humble beginnings. I'm sure that they remember things, but they were so young, that by this time they don't probably remember anything much different. And you know, I would equate it to like a really wealthy, like any really wealthy teenager. It's like, it's all you've really known. It's all you really remember. Like, yes, we're going, you know, we're going to our Aspen home. Like we do that every winter. It's like, oh, I've
They
never even been there,
have no
but
clue how good they have it. And it's just
no.
like, gosh, Teenage Dream, truly, that song is about Jelena, I think. Like, truly.
Yeah, and just another quick reminder to everybody listening, the talking about starting a family and settling down, we'll get to it, but there are blind item rumors of Justin like proposing to Selena
Oh
and
my
her
God.
turning him down. So when you think about that, and then you think about him marrying Haley, and a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people's reaction was like, oh my gosh, they're so young. Like, what are you doing? But he, I, if the rumors are true, like he'd already kind of tried and failed. And so with Haley, it was like not something brand new. Anyway, we'll get there eventually. But let's, so that was October 2011, November 2011. This is what, and I know you and I talked about this last time, Cam, where they looked like old Hollywood royalty and they attended the American Music Awards in LA. They arrived in that old-fashioned car and they kissed for the camera on the red carpet. But this is interesting, okay? This was all happening in the midst of Justin's paternity scandal. Do we remember that?
Yes,
Do we all
yes.
remember? Can we go back to that and remember that a girl named Mariah Eder, I don't know if I'm saying her last name again correctly, but she claimed that Justin was the father of her baby. And I'm not gonna lie, like child looks like Justin. It could be a coincidence, but he really does. And Justin denied ever meeting her, and the case was thrown out. But if that was what was happening, then like we get Selena and Justin looking like Hollywood royalty, and it's just like this big to-do, the American Music Awards, they're arriving in this car. Like, was that maybe not in response and to trying to like drown it out, the
It's possible that
rumors?
they went so loud with it then to drown out the rumors. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't put anything past Scooter.
Well, me either. And as we continue to go through this timeline, there's a couple more things that happen where I'm like, wait a minute. Was that to take attention away from something else that was happening? Like it's very, you start to see a pattern. Okay. We'll just like, we'll say that. I start to see a pattern. And I'm not saying that their relationship is completely fake or whatever, but if you're famous and you have a famous partner, and you've got some bad press going on, well, why not divert the attention? Like, why
And
not?
Scooter Braun, and I'm sure Selena's mother and management team as well, but Scooter Braun is known for being a shark like that. Is known he will leverage personal things for profit, for to control the media's headline. I mean, when he was talking about Ariana said that she had a song about Mac Miller, was it Ghostin? I'm not sure, but she didn't want to put it on the album, and Scooter said, "Yeah, you have to." And you know, that's something personal about her good friend and ex-boyfriend's death. And Scooter still said, you know, Scooter had the final say, and he said, this is going to sell albums, you know, basically. He'll do anything to control a narrative. And I think that's one thing you and I are excited about commenting on is, you know, I feel like I'm always trying to get to what's real and what's the truth. But there's this network in Hollywood, there's this web of not lies necessarily, some lies, but web of Mr. X. You know, it's like a magician. I've talked about this with Taylor before, but when a magician says, you know, look at my right hand, look at my right hand, the trick's happening in their left hand.
Right,
So
right. I
when,
mean,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the master of spin, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Taylor called him?
Yes. Got a couple slides, Blaine.
Back to the matter at hand. So December 2011, there was pictures of them, and this happened a lot with them, like pictures like on a beach in Mexico or doing something in the Caribbean. You know, they did a lot of vacationing. So that wraps up 2011. In 2012, and this is where we get some of the engagement rumors. April 2012, there were rumors that Justin was engaged to Selena. And Scooter put them to an end and said that, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous and that him and his team were laughing when they heard these rumors. But I don't know that I believe that. And again, we'll get into it in more detail. Probably not this episode. It'll probably come later. But the rumors were that Justin proposed, if I remember the blinds correctly, Justin proposed to Selena and she turned him down.
That really wouldn't shock me,
Me either.
because like to me, Selena's always been the more clever and just a little bit more grounded than Justin is. Justin is just a very emotional, I think, and a little all over the place and a little immature and irresponsible. And I think Selena has her flaws, but I can see, you know, basically just her mother being like, oh, hell no, you're not going to do this. And Selena being like,
Right,
yeah, we're not ready for that.
not at like 19, because not that people can't get married when they're 19, but like,
Well, I don't think they should.
I mean, I don't either. That's my opinion. But if you're famous and rich and gorgeous, like, why would you like, no, absolutely not.
I heard something brilliant. I think this was probably, it was either on Fluently Forward or Celeb Memoir Book Club. And it might have been like while they were even collabing together. Someone said, when celebs get engaged, it basically means that they're officially dating. Like when celebs decide to get married, it basically just means like, okay, we want to like at least pretend to be monogamous. Like for some reason, everything's sped up because, you know, your average person, if you want to get married, well, that's a really big expense. you know, you really need your network, your support network to be okay with it. You want your family to be okay with it. You want your friends to be okay with it. You know, it needs to really fit into your life or it's going to be some huge inconvenience. When you're rich, there's no inconveniences to you. So you can plan a $1 million wedding with, you know, without a second thought and just say, this will just be so much fun. And I do think like the celeb divorce rate is surely higher than average. Right. And I think like when celebs just get really excited and there's no sort of, I don't know, burden of entry to a marriage, they just do it, you know?
Yeah. And they're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. And what, you know, what else is really easy to do when you're rich and famous? Get a lawyer and pay for a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really easy to be like, you know what? I don't want to be married to you anymore. I'm going to go to my mansion in LA and you can stay here in New York. And I'll just like, my lawyers will just send you the paperwork.
These celebs, they are impulsive.
Yeah.
And nobody ever tells them no.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with all of that. Mm. Absolutely. If the rumors or the blind items are true that Justin proposed and Selena turned him down, number one, Scooter and his team are not going to admit that. One, because it's not good press. It's not a good
look.
Justin
look like a punk.
Well, also Justin Bieber at the time, especially if April 2012, I mean, this was like the most famous. He was at the, you know, precipice, like not precipice, but like the highest peak of his fame, right? Like, and he stayed there for a while. How would it look? Every girl, every teenage girl with their posters all over their walls of Justin Bieber. How would that look if they knew that he proposed to Selena and she said no? Like, that's just not, it didn't fit with the narrative. It didn't fit with the brand. So that was not going to like come out regardless. So September 2012, we're starting to get some breakup rumors, which, you know, makes sense. If he really did propose to her and she said no, that would cause some angst. So there's some breakup rumors, but, you know, they're keeping a smile on their face. And Selena's saying, you know, I'm having fun. I'm very lucky. I'm 20 years old. I don't take anything in my personal life too seriously. I've got great friends and a solid group of people I love. Everything else will come organically. And if that's not a Fed statement from a publicist, I don't know what it is. Like back in 2012, what 20-year-olds were running around saying it will happen organically? I that doesn't sit right with me that she came up with that. Sorry.
Yeah. I think most of Selena's quotes at the time are very canned.
Mm-hmm. And then in November 2012, they break up. So after 2 years of dating, they have their first split.
And that just goes to show that where there's smoke, there's fire. The rumors started, you know, populating, but it was true. And I love that. I love when the tea is accurate.
Right. Like it comes to its own conclusions. So they broke up and the, you know, quotes and all the publications, magazines and stuff, the causes of the split were trust issues and the young age of the couple.
Mm-hmm.
So they broke up in November 2012, but even within that same month, they were spotted getting dinner in LA, and that was followed by a tweet from Justin saying, things aren't always easy. There's a lot of pressure. I'm still figuring it all out. I'm trying, but I care. I notice. I still hear you. Hashtag believers. And it's not, you know, uncommon for exes to grab coffee, grab dinner. Doesn't mean they're back together.
That's a little soon, though.
But it is a little soon. It is a little soon. Okay, so now we're jumping into 2013, and I know that the hardcore fans of Jelena know that like 2013 and 2014, like we really start going off the rails. Mm-hmm. So January 2013, they like reconciled, but then they like broke up again because there was a fight on New Year's.
I swear to God.
And yeah. and I will just say, like, again, for me, I've been around for a little while, and like I can think immediately off the top of my head, my friends, like whether it was a guy or girl, that they had these types of relationships in real life. Like they broke up and got back together a million times, or it got to the point with like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to hear about it. Like, you are just going to get back together, or you're just going to break up again. And like, this type of, I don't know what to call this. It's like a addicted to the drama. And I'm not saying that about Justin and Selena, because I know that there is a lot more depth to it than like the people that I, grew up with. But it's just giving very that, like very teenage, very drama, very like we break up and then, we make up and then we fight and then we break up, like lather, rinse, repeat. So by March 2013, and I'm pretty sure, yep, this is the one. This is a very famous David Letterman appearance for Selena, who jokes about making Justin cry.
Yes, I watched that last night actually while I was researching my notes.
And anyone listening, if you're not sure or it's just been a while, like please go Google this. Like David Letterman makes some kind of joke and she's like, yeah, like the last time I
Here,
saw,
you
like
want me to
what
say
are,
it? You want me to say it as it
yes
is?
yes
Now, the last time he was on, he and I got into a conversation, and he said something, and I said something, and then he said something, and I said something, and I made him cry.
Well, then that makes two of us.
That's it. That
Do
makes
you know what I
yes.
think, though? I think that's a line his writers wrote for her. The way she delivers it, there's she tags it. She almost there's a tag on it. There's sort of a there's it feels like a written line. It feels like a written line. I'm sorry.
I
Like.
totally agree with you because we know two things. Now, today, we know two things. We know one, Selena Gomez is fantastic in Only Murders in the Building. Fantastic. Her comedic timing is chef's kiss. We also know, if you watched or you're aware, her Alex Russo on Wizards of Waverly Place was like unmatched. And that's why, and you can tell him I said this, every time Enty is like, oh, the bad actress, I want to like shake him by the shoulders because I'm like, are you
Does he
effing kidding
call her
me?
a bad actress?
He did. He's better about it now, but for years, he called her the bad actress, the bad actress, sometimes singer. Like that was her,
Why
how he
not call
has
her
his
the
little
bad singer? That's way more accurate. I think she's a damn good actress. And
she's
that line,
fantastic.
the way she delivers, I'm sorry, but there is just, she delivers the line. She doesn't just say it. She doesn't just say it. She delivers it. It feels like a setup. Like,
Totally. I totally believe that.
she
Yeah,
delivers it, an
100%.
actress delivering a line, and it gets a big laugh. And I for the first second when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, T, she's so funny, she's so clever. And I was like, that was too good. That was a deli anyway, that's my take on that. But yes, very funny. Go watch it. It's on YouTube.
I'm pretty sure the reason Enty was like fixated on that description of her was because the only thing he ever saw her act in, I bet you, was Spring Breakers.
Probably, yeah.
And I like, if I was a little bit too old to be watching Wizards of Waverly Place, which I did because again, I used to work with kids, so it benefited me to know what they were watching at the time. He wasn't watching that show. Like, like he's
No
probably
way.
got a decade on me, So like he wasn't watching Wizards of Waverly Place. But she was fantastic in it. And so I always hated that whenever I read the blinds. I'm like, she's not a bad actress. She's actually a better actress than a singer, to me, in my opinion. And if she had really focused, had been allowed to focus on her acting, and anyone can disagree with me who wants to, but I really think that she would have had the career of like a Natalie Portman
Oh,
or a
wow.
Jennifer Lawrence. Like if she had really been allowed to hone her craft,
Yeah.
like, and not like cattle prodded into the recording studio, like with Selena Gomez in the scene, which I'm like, what even is that? And no hate, like they had some cute songs, but just like, what was that? Like,
Right.
let her continue to evolve in this. She's such a natural, but whatever, it didn't happen. Moving on. And this is where you're going to have to start jumping in with your, with the songs.
Oh, I got it.
So April 2013, Selena debuts her song, Come and Get It. And fans are like, oh my gosh, this is about Justin. And a couple days after the song came out, Justin posts and then quickly deletes an Instagram photo of Selena. And this was just like a sneak peek of what was to come for their relationship and the songs and leveraging social media platforms to like really drive it home.
Yeah. I do think we're, I do think we're going to see a lot of this. And so for my lyric analysis, guys, if there's music about Jelena before 2013, and I'm sure there is, like, I mean, Justin releases music very frequently, which is interesting to me. Like, he is a hard worker. But I feel like, you know, until Journals, we're going to talk about the Believe acoustic album for one song, but Journals, like, I don't know that Justin's really having as much input on his music, but on Journals, he wrote on at least every song I talk about on this episode. And Selena actually does not write much of Stars Dance, but I'll say more on that. But like, it just didn't seem relevant to look up older songs. And, you know, the interesting stuff started in 2013. So that's where I'm starting. So we missed favorite Selena song. Sorry.
Yeah. Things weren't super messy or interesting yet. And I know that sounds like, I don't know, kind of bad of me to Well, it sounds bad of me to say, like, ooh, I can't wait for like the bad stuff, but
that's what I can't wait for.
I mean, that's what we're here discussing. So like, just, I'm going to go ahead and apologize preemptively, everyone.
Yeah. So the first song I'm going to talk about, we're going to rewind just a touch to early 2013, the Believe acoustic album, which was a bunch of songs from Believe that were done acoustic, but there's a couple bonus tracks. Track 11 is Nothing Like Us. And guys, first of all, when I listened to the song, it made me cry a couple days ago when I was doing this analysis. Maybe I was just PMSing, but whatever that means. But then this is the Jelena thesis. Like, it's funny that the first song I was like going to comment on, it encapsulates, I think, everything from the start to all the way to 2018. The lyrics, and this is Justin's first comment on their breakup. And I think he whipped it out pretty quick after they broke up for the first time in November, or just that late 2012 era, even though they were trying to get back together and try, you know, on and off, it seems quite a bit there. But the first verse is, lately I've been thinking about what we had. I know it was hard. It was all we knew. That to me, I hear that and I see two young people being, you know, shooed at each other, sort of go date. We want y'all to do some appearances. We want y'all, you know, this sort of hard start, but it's all they knew. Like, I feel like this is it. Jelena keeps going back to each other and they will, you know, throughout the next 5 years from 2013 on. And even beyond, there's still chatting and there's references and stuff. Because it was all they knew, because they have this codependent, messed up relationship from being, you know, child star power couple. And then the lyrics finish out, have you been drinking to take all the pain away? That's just such an explicit reference to Selena's substance abuse.
We'll wait till we get to my notes after this with that. Yeah.
Right. Frankly, like, I used to be pretty skeptical. I'm still somewhat skeptical about Selena having a hardcore drug problem, but I have heard she has a drinking problem. And I don't think she's never done drugs. I feel like I've been changing my tune on that the more I learn, which is fine, guys. That's what we do here at the pod. If we get new information, we change our beliefs to, you know, that's supported by the information. But just that, have you been drinking to take the pain away? I mean, we're going all the way back to 2013 and Justin's got this song he wrote about her, obviously. And then he said, I wish that I could give you what you deserve. The chorus is basically like, there's nothing like us. There's nothing like you and me together, sort of. And you know, he's just pining for her. There's There's it's kind of like, tell me, was it worth it? We were so perfect, but baby, I just want you to see there's nothing like us. There's nothing like you and me. And it's a simple song. It's just him with the piano. And, you know, he wrote on this and he said, you know, he confirmed this song is about Selena. And he said, because at the end of the day, there's nothing like us, you know, that's just it. It is what it is. People are going to relate to that. And he performed it live for the first time on Saturday Night Live, which is interesting because it makes me think he wanted
Ooh,
her to see it. And he's like
yeah,
playing the
that's a big
piano
deal.
and crooning.
Yeah,
But he wrote the song alone and produced it alone. He wrote this on piano by himself. And whenever I see a artist that's written a song alone, so like for me, for Taylor, This Love always stands out. She wrote that song alone. That's very interesting to me. I really think, okay, this is their guts. Like, this is them, you know? And I also just think, gosh, it's so heartbreaking. But it's the Jelena thesis, you know, we have substance abuse problems and, you know, it's been all we've known. All we know is each other, you know, and it's been hard. And I think that's a commentary on their relationship, but also on the lifestyle of being a celebrity.
Yes, so allow me now to plug in some blind item.
Please do.
Not, I don't have the like specific blind item, but let's just go like overarching of like what was being said in
In
the
this era.
2013. Yeah, 2013. So blind items report Selena was heavily into drinking
There you go. It's
during this
Justin
time.
saying it on the album.
Yes, she's also in the blind items world, she was heavily into using pills, specifically Xanax and Ambien,
Oh, gosh.
and she had a preference to Ambien because, allegedly, according to the blinds, it made her feel drunk, but she didn't need to actually drink alcohol, so it was easier for her to hide that she'd been using because it didn't have a smell. She didn't need the bottle. She didn't, you know, she could hide it a little bit better. And like prior to these type of blind items in 2013, like the worst thing that had been reported about Selena publicly was like she had to cancel the tour. And you know, again, none of the substance abuse was reported publicly, but you know, it's no surprise that these two started to have major issues, separately and together. And also, according to blind items, around this time period, they're both of their teams were like very much walking on eggshells, if you will, because they would break up and get back together and break up and get back together. And every time they would get together and then break up, their addiction issues on both sides would spike, which, like, that makes sense, you
Yeah,
know?
it does.
Like,
And let me just say, I'm not surprised that their lives start to crumble, because I'm sure whatever Selena's using, Justin's using some too. And I can't think of, and this might be a hot take, but you know, from personal in my life, there's been an effect from these drugs. I can't think of a worse class of drugs than hypnotics, such as Z drugs, which Ambien is a Z drug, or benzos, which Xanax is a benzo. I can't think of something that wreaks more havoc on the brain, on your personality, than those drugs.
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's some bad ones out there, and you know, there's drugs that can
Oh,
make
well, we'll
people do
get to
some
those
crazy shit,
later.
but particularly, you know, those are things I bet you Selena's doctor gave that stuff for her. Like that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's she wasn't getting that on a street corner. That's coming from, if I had to guess, obviously this is alleged, but I would bet that, oh, I have trouble sleeping. Here's some Ambien, you know, it's
I'm
you know, oh,
stressed out.
I have some
I have
anxiety. Here's
anxiety.
some Xanax, and it just got children that are listening. Please don't ever touch any of those drugs. Even if your doctor gives them to you, find something else is all I'll say. That those will ruin your life.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And if you have any, you know, predisposition or family history or anything, you know, with addiction, that those drugs are very, it's a slippery slope.
And it's just and you think you're taking what your doctor's giving you.
Right.
And you
I
know, it's
mean,
just,
yeah.
I'm taking this for my health. My doctor gave it to me, and it is rotting your brain.
Just
Like,
you have to proceed. with caution and really, you know, and I'm sure there's plenty of people listening who would say, no, Xanax saved my life.
Well, it might. Listen, if it worked for you, feel you're one of the lucky ones. That's what I'll say.
Right.
And hey, that's fine too. Everybody's different, but that's our PSA for today. Don't do drugs.
Yeah. Just like be very careful, even if it's something that your doctor's giving you, because we literally have an opioid crisis in this country. And a lot of the people who are suffering from that got addicted because their doctors prescribed them painkillers.
Absolutely.
And that's how it started. So, okay. Yes. PSA for this episode, at least the first one, maybe there's more. There's really no surprise that this is like starting to happen. One, they're getting older. And if there's one thing that is probably the most devastating to any child star is when they reach the age of self-awareness and they can look back on their past and think, what the fuck? What is happening to me? How did all the adults in my life let this happen? What is going on? And we're really going to dive into that with Justin in 2014, which is next on the timeline. But it's they're coming of age. That's when things really start to go downhill for most child stars. So that was April 2013. And when I mentioned the Instagram post that Justin put up and deleted pretty quickly, it was a photo that it was the one, and I can remember it. I can see it in my mind's eye. It was, I think he was like, they were sitting on like the floor and Justin was shirtless and Selena was sitting behind him with her arms wrapped around him. And it was captioned like, you've been making music too long, babe, come and cuddle. And then like her. Mm-hmm. And I can remember that picture. In my memory. And then in July 2013, we're not sure if they've reconciled, but Justin is promoting his new single, Heartbreaker. And so that again leads to a photo of him and Selena on Instagram, captioning it hashtag Heartbreaker. I don't know if you have any notes on that specific song.
Okay, I do have notes on Heartbreaker. Okay, so Heartbreak. Well, I was going to go in, I guess, slightly more chronological, but the thing is like Stars Dance, which is Selena's first solo album, without the scene, Selena sans scene.
Please remind me. Well, first of all, good. It was time for them to go. Well, remind me, what were the major hits off of that album?
Come and Get It. Slow Down, which is like that. I just wanna da, 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 da. Okay, yeah. That's not good, but it's like Slow Down, the song. It has the cataracts on it. Save the Day was big on the album, and Undercover was really fun. So, you know, I think those were the hits. Here's the thing about Stars Dance. Selena did not write on a lot of the album. So but she talked about the album. So Come and Get It came out in April of 2013. And she's talking about the album. And she says, you fall in love and it completely consumes you. So a part of you is broken when that's gone. And part of you wants to have that rebellious feeling where you're just like, forget it. I can do anything I want. I've tried it and I've never been that girl. I'm always the girl you want to take home to your parents, not for the night. And Stars Dance kind of has like a blend of those songs, right? But she has her like party songs on this era. And it's kind of funny because you can tell she's not writing on the songs. So Come and Get It, everybody says, oh my God, this is Selena telling Justin to come back and come and get it. And she didn't write on the song, but several songs on this album, she worked with producers that she had known since, she kept saying, oh, I've known these guys since I was 15. So we will actually talk more about this on the Jeanette McCurdy episode, but also Sean, I believe, commented on this about if somebody's writing with a songwriter, or she may have just told me this privately when I asked about it, because I was asking about Lea Michele, because Lea Michele didn't write on just about any of her songs, but they still seem to be about her life. Songwriters will sit there with an artist and talk to them for hours, perhaps. I mean, it might not be as much, but if it's a good one, for hours, and they will absorb, okay, you want to comment on this relationship? Well, tell me everything there is to know about this relationship. So, like, that's one thing I think people, it's important for people to know. Even if someone doesn't write on a song, it doesn't mean it's not personal to them. Although some of these songs I do not think are personal to Selena, but it is possible that Come and Get It, you know, she didn't write on the song, but I do think she was describing feelings about Justin, to the songwriter who helped her write it. And Come and Get It was the big hit off the album. But let me just go ahead and say, you know, you talk about Selena being cattle prodded into a studio. Let's talk about her being forced onto like Radio Disney stage when the song debuted to do this performance. And I'm sorry, Selena's a talented girl, but like dancing and singing at the same time, it's just not there. It's just not there. And it just, your heart breaks a little bit watching this girl have to do this pop career when I think if people really had her best interests in mind, she would be, she'd be in college for acting at that point. All that aside, that's what I have to say about Come and Get It. Can I just say the Stars Dance album, like it's not that good, but it's really this time capsule for that early teens, cataracts, party rock Kesha sound. And that's all this album is for the most part. It is, you know, it is that sort of chaotic EDM. It's very much of its time. It's a great little time capsule. And when that music was coming out, I loved it. And I always loved the song Slow Down. But this album has some other songs that I haven't really listened to, like Save the Day, that is the similar vibe. And it's like a really, it's good music to run to. So just want to say that about the album. Do you follow any of the, do you have a favorite song of the album? I guess Come and Get It, or what's yours?
I love Slow Down as well. I do like Come and Get It. And I was at the club. I was doing my thing. I was partying hard. And these songs played. This album played a lot out in the club if you were old enough to partake at that age. And it really did kind of transcend age demographics, right? Because like, I'm sure there were very young Disney stands buying this album, but I was also liking it and enjoying it. And it was being played by DJs at venues that I would go to as an adult to like have fun and dance. And so these songs really take me back to that place. And like you said, that heavily EDM influenced era of music, it was just so much fun, very carefree. You know, we hadn't gotten into such a stressful political state in this country at the time. So it was just a very, it's a very nostalgic album. I'm not super familiar with every track, but I like the same ones that you do. I like Stars Dance. And you said running. I was really big into running at this time. And I would always listen to a lot of the songs on this album when I would run. So that's my experience with it.
It's a good album for that. Yeah, I agree. It's really very much a moment in time. And, you know, Come and Get It was very much, it was a moment for her. It was a big deal. And it was a, it saw, it got a lot of play, like you said, in the clubs and just on the radio and everything. And everybody said it was about Justin. She did say it wasn't about him. And she also didn't write on it. But I can also see her still wanting the speculation, or, you know, maybe not wanting people to know that she's putting herself out there like this for him. So you never really know. She did say it wasn't. But Come and Get It's kind of the song everybody knows from that album. But let's talk about Slow Down. So Slow Down's a party song. It's my favorite song on the album. It's so good. There's a bunch of great remixes of it on Spotify. I will jam to that. But she gave a quote about it, about how, like, you know, it's about partying and slowing down and appreciating like your youth and the fun you can have and appreciate the music at the party, kind of. And she said, you know, I have trouble with that. Like, I'm kind of the girl that wants to settle down and get married. But, you know, I realized like that's not what I'm supposed to be doing with my time right now. And I do just feel like that's an interesting thing for her to say. And I kind of agree. I think Selena's kind of a homebody. And like, I feel like there was a part of her that did just want to settle down with Justin. But like, I feel like her management, certainly her mother, you know, would have spoken against that. But I think it's interesting that she kind of brings that up after her and Justin's breakup, which may have had roots in her denying him getting married. Forget Forever is kind of a sad, it's kind of sassy, sad breakup song. But she said it was written before she and Justin ever broke up. That's her claim.
Yeah. And I'll also add that this was their first breakup. So like things haven't even gotten, like they don't even know yet how deep down the rabbit hole this is going to go. The fact that she had other writers writing most of the album, you know, whether she was giving her narrative in the studio or not, there's not too much dramatic history yet.
Right.
But 2013 is where it really kind of starts to get a little dark.
So these albums are like not that insane, but Love Will Remember is definitely one we have to talk about. Selena did not write on it, but again, this is one that she's claimed she worked on the ideas with the producer that she's claimed she knew from 15 and on. The original version of the song included a voicemail from Justin at the beginning of the song. He calls her his princess and, you know, you deserve all the love in the world. And apparently, you know, what I read in an article about it is Taylor told her not to release it like that. Taylor said, take the voicemail out.
Oh, really?
Interesting to me. I love when that Taylor just cameos into our stories. And we know Taylor didn't like Justin.
Always. So
that's fun stuff. Love Will Remember, she very much, she's just saying like, you know, it's so bad we broke up, but you know, we broke up, we're not together, but like, I still have good feelings about the relationship. So that's interesting. With Justin on the voicemail, you know, so that's very clearly about him. And you can find it on YouTube if you go look for it. Then there's a bonus track called Nobody Does It Like You, and it sucks. And it's funny because Selena did write on it, but it's definitely about Justin. And for as much as, oh, I'm just a good girl, like, I don't like to party, like, whatever, she talks about how, you know, she's writing about Justin like Your Name wrote about Harry in Harry Styles fanfics. Like, it's very much, the lyrics are, you're my bad boy fairy tale, Prince Charming with a dark side. I want to be your bad girl. You will bring out my wild side. So that's, I love that. It does just sound like, what's that after that? It was a Harry Styles fanfic that got turned into a movie. It's very much like dark Harry fanfic, except about Justin. And she says like, you know, she's kind of like, I want to be a bad girl for you. Nobody does it like you. Nobody does it like you. You got me feeling so caught up, but I'm loving all the crazy things you make me do. Nobody does it like you. So, you know, that's, and it's a not a great song. And it's one of the ones that Selena did write on. And that's the last thing I have to say about this album. I think there's probably other comments on the relationship on this album, but Selena wrote so little of it, and it is kind of a dance party album. So like, how much is that genuine and like that heartfelt? It's not like a confessional album. Mm-hmm. But Justin's album Journals starts coming out in the fall of 2013, and it very much is. So Justin did this thing where he had like, I don't know, Music Monday or something, but starting on October 7th of 2013, a new song from the album was released every week. So every Monday he would release a new song. And he also tweeted out, these songs are different. These are my journals. So, and Justin wrote on, I think, all of the songs that I'm going to talk about, and maybe every song on the album. But so All That Matters is the first thing I'm going to talk about. Justin's tweeted about the song. He said, the lyrics of the song are pretty self-explanatory. When you fall in love with someone, that someone can make you feel whole. I feel like anyone who has been in love knows what I mean. The song conveys that being in love is one of the greatest feelings on earth. Love is all that matters, but the void you feel when that love goes away is gut-wrenching. I worked so hard on the song in the studio, trying to put that feeling into music was extremely important to me. Happy to share it with you. This is apparently about, or perhaps even written before they broke up, but or about when it was good. All that matters is like, you're the only one that matters. Like, we're so in love. And, I think I got to give Justin a tad bit more credit than I ever have before. I haven't listened to, I knew Baby and I knew some of the early stuff. And I know some of the more recent, I knew Beauty and a Beat. Got to know that. That's not really recent. But, I knew Boyfriend. I knew a lot of stuff that got radio play. But this Journals album, a lot of this, the sound is so interesting. It's, sort of an R&B sound. But it is very confessional. And, credit where credit's due. I mean, it's not the most groundbreaking lyrics of music that I've ever read, but he is writing these songs and they're not bad. So that's that, I got to give him not a ton, but a tiny bit more songwriter credit than I would before researching all this. Let's talk about Heartbreaker, like you brought up. So Heartbreaker, I just wanted to talk about the bridge. This is very much about their breakup, and the bridge goes, so what I'm really trying to say is, and what I hope you understand is, despite all the imperfections of who I am, I still want to be your man. I know it hasn't been easy for us to talk with everyone being around, but it's just personal. This just for me and you, and I want you to know that I still love you. Girl, aww. You say you don't want to talk, but it's cool. And though the seasons change, sometimes love goes from sunshine to rain. I'm under this umbrella and I'm calling your name. Girl, I know that I don't want to lose your love. And then he says, and I don't want to lose that because I still believe. So I do think this is just purely Justin. He was always the one trying to keep their love going. And I think he would sort of get with her and act up and she'd have to break up with him. I think he cheated on her. I feel like Taylor confirmed that on Tumblr at some point. She'd like to post about how Justin cheated on Selena. So that's fun. I just think that's another, that's really where they were in that moment of him kind of just begging her to come back.
Well, I see online that this album, Journals, was released on December 23rd, 2013. And December 13th, it's reported that Justin and Selena are not on speaking terms. He, just days before Christmas, which is when this album comes out, the 23rd, days before Christmas, Bieber confirms him and Selena are not talking. Mm-hmm. But he also reveals in the same interview he still loves her.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds about right, right? And that's, he's obviously writing on this music, and that's interesting to me because, when the artists really put themselves into the music, it puts them in this vulnerable position that us little nasty vultures get to go, pick at and learn about them from. I have a note about Hold Tight. It's just, such a horny song. I wonder if it's about Selena, maybe during the better times. He also says happy birthday in it, and Selena has a song called Birthday on Stars Dance, so I don't know. Whatever. Is this a birthday song for Selena? I'm not sure. It wasn't released during her birthday or anything, but it's just interesting. But he tweeted, he was just ladies. He tweeted ladies as for that song to come out. If you go look at the lyrics, they're a bit ridiculous, but that's okay. Or if you just listen to it, it's very intense. And then you're what is he even talking about? What's holding tight to what? I don't know. So, that's funny. Bad day. I just have to note that the lyrics are so sad and to go look at them. And the album art for Bad Day is a rain cloud and with a storm pouring down. And I think that's interesting given all the storm imagery we got in the bridge on Heartbreaker. But he says, no, I didn't think you would let me down that easy. No, girl. And I didn't think it was over until you walked away like it was nothing, baby. So, I just,
aww.
This song is really sad. And this is obviously to me showing Selena did break up with him. Never thought a love like yours would leave me alone. Oh no. It didn't. And he does sort of admit to doing something wrong. Didn't waste any time, but you already had made up your mind. No sympathy. 'Cause I was out of line. And I think, yeah, you probably were out of line, Justin. Go ahead.
Well, I know I agree. And I have to say 2013, starting in 2013, I mean, this is when Justin, it's interesting because I don't know this album, right? I've heard the title, but I don't really know this album. So you're telling me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these notes I have, it really syncs up. So starting in 2013, publicly, like, Justin's off the rails. He's defaced the photo of former President Bill Clinton and had to apologize. He peed in a mop bucket.
I remember
and, like,
that.
His friends are recording it, and he, like, thinks that he's, like, the coolest, funniest thing that's ever happened. He was caught at a Brazilian brothel. He was accused of groping a teenage fan's breast in a meet and greet photo op. There was trying to fight paparazzi. A paparazzi died chasing his car. You remember that?
Yeah, although it wasn't Justin's fault, right?
No, it wasn't. No,
but
no,
it's
no.
still I mean, just
no.
very unfortunate. A lot of drama.
Just more unfortunate. Like, if you want to talk about, like, rain clouds and, like, breakups and, like, just add that layer on. He defaced a Brazilian flag on stage. He was doing a concert in Brazil, and he kicked it off the stage. And so his Brazilian fan base turned on him. I mean, he was just literally flying all over the world, causing a ruckus. And his parents cannot stop him, because if we believe, which I do, what we discussed in our last episodes, they have been contractually bound to not parent him, to not step in. And if they try to, the money will dry up. So he's acting out because, again, like we talked about a moment ago, like, they're coming of age. They're starting to realize what is happening in their lives, the people that are around them. So it's just very interesting to me that this album is very, like, diuretic. Like, it's like his journal, it's his diary.
Yeah.
And that he is acting out in all of these ways. Like, this person is in pain. And, like, yeah, if he was getting caught at a Brazilian brothel, there are some other stories. Just acting a fool in Brazil. He did upset Selena.
It's very much the trifecta, right? It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And you know, right. I promise you, they're getting more and more into drugs at this point. They're just older and they're doing it. They have that access. That's what people in music do. And then, you know, the sex, you know, things go wrong with Selena, probably because of the drugs and other stuff. And I'm sure he's cheating on her at this point, like, on and off, like, flings or what have you. And of course they're both rock stars, so it just, yeah, it's interesting that I'm talking about this music, which is kind of, I guess it was written in the first half of 2013, but and then it starts to be released in the fall, and then the full album I guess drops in December. But you can tell what he's been going through. I love it. I love when the music matches up to the timelines. And this is why I do this the way that I do, because if you establish a timeline and then look at the music, it all falls into place and it makes this beautiful puzzle. And it's just, you know, Taylor falls in love with someone on Red and Diana shows up. Then she breaks up with someone on 1989 and Diana goes away, and we can just watch it all happen. And you can do the same with Justin. And, you know, it might not be as interesting as somebody's secret sexuality. That's, you know, that's Cam Nip. But, it's still interesting to see just, like, what's going on in the tabloids and what's in the music. And it's very interesting that it matches up. And I feel like sometimes with more, you know, with artists who don't really maybe write all their own music or, like, that sort of thing, it won't match. Right. Because the albums are really other people's stories. So that's another interesting thing to note. And I feel like that's why Selena's album really, I didn't have a ton to say about it. I appreciate the album, but nothing was really commenting on her life or Justin. You know, there's no struggle in that album. I mean, there's a little bit, but it's mostly a positive album. So I think that's interesting as well, because I don't think Selena was really writing much of it. So let's see what else.
And wait, one last thing on Selena's album. That was still the Disney machine, because that was a Hollywood's record, Hollywood Records album. Yeah. And that's Disney's label. So she wouldn't have had that much creative control, even if she wanted it.
Yeah, that's my point. The first time Come and Get It ever got performed, Radio Disney. First of all, go watch it to see how miserable Selena obviously is there. But it was that song was debuted to a bunch of 8-year-olds.
Right.
Like, it's Radio Disney, and it's kind of weird because it's a bit of a suggestive song, but it's just like to watch, it's like kids are there with their parents. Like, that's what's going on. And he's just a Selena, who's what, 20 at this point. You can just hear her soul dying. Like, how am I still stuck in this fucking Disney machine? You know, but yeah, I think that's part of it too. She can't comment on, you know, her new life where she's, you know, she's experimenting with drugs, maybe abusing them, abusing alcohol, going through this really tumultuous, painful breakup. I don't, you know, on Stars Dance, I don't know that she talks about him cheating. I didn't comb through every single song on both of the albums. Journals, I think almost every song is about Selena. So I don't have notes on all of them because it is just a lot of the same thing over and over again. But it is just, you know, very much you can tell. You can tell what Justin was going through, but Selena, you don't get as clear a picture because
she wasn't really she didn't have as much control of the situation.
Like the song Change Me is all about, you know, I'm ready if you're ready. And I think, when did he even write this song? It was released December 2nd, but When You're Ready, Come and Get It. The first line of the song is, girl, I'm ready if you're ready now. So, you know, and then he's saying, maybe you could change me. Maybe you could change me. Maybe you could be the light that opens up my eyes, make all my wrongs right. Change me, change me. I think that could be a response to Come and Get It, which I love when that does. He tweeted about the song. He said, tonight's song is very personal. So yeah, personal. It's about about Selena, in my opinion.
I will also add in here, I had it in my notes. I took it out because I thought it was like, I mean, whatever, like what is a boundary at this point? But there were, it was either 2013. I guess it was 2013. I could be wrong, and maybe the stands can correct us, but it was either 2013 or 2014, making more sense for 2013, that Justin was allegedly said that he took Selena's virginity. Oh. And that he really knew that she, and this is kind of odd if you think about this comment, if they've been dating since starting off in 2010, the end of 2010, where we think it was a PR. Then, like, if he says, I knew she was really in love with me when she gave me her virginity, is the alleged quote. So if that happened in 2013, that also adds another layer of emotion on this music.
Yeah. I mean, it's as much as virginity is just a patriarchal idea made up by weird men. Sadly, between Selena and Justin, that would have been a really big deal being.
Yeah. Yeah. Nevertheless, it's like all we've known, you know, right. We're trying to dismantle that now, but like, it's yeah. That's how a lot of us were raised, that's like a very sacred, special thing. No matter who you are, doesn't matter, you know, what gender you are, that's you know, you're raised a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, but
of
it gets pinned on girls that. A lot more. Let's
it does.
Be honest.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I do not for one second think that Justin was a virgin, but for Selena, if that's true, if she didn't lose her virginity to him until 2013, then like, A, that makes me think that, okay, well, their relationship is like very real by now. Like we've matured, evolved, and graduated out of this like PR circumstance. And that it makes sense with a lot of his music, since he was actually writing a lot of the songs, it's very emotionally charged. The like, what was the lyric? You were like, if you're ready, I'm ready. Like,
yeah.
What?
Well, I think he's responding to, you know, when you're ready, come and get it, which should come out in April.
Maybe I don't think that.
If you want to hear the rest of the lyrics, girl, I'm ready if you're ready now. Oh, as I'm ever going to be. If you're with it, then I'm with it now to accept all responsibility. I go out of my way to live by the words that you say. I don't want to be the same. Maybe you could change me. Maybe you could change me. So I do think I think the ready is about getting back in a relationship.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I won't think too hard about it because, you know, one, it's just like,
Well, I'm going to look for that rumor in Selena's music moving forward.
Okay.
Because, and particularly, I think in the other albums, Revival and Rare, you get way more personal songs from
Right,
her
like way more of
about her
her.
life, genuine. It's
Right.
not, it's we're not at Radio Disney anymore after
It's
that
more
song.
biographical of like these are things that happened to me and I'm writing these
Yeah.
lyrics.
Well, you
Yeah.
know that, Nick Jonas didn't take it because they were virgins. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Joe Jonas talked about losing his virginity to Ashley Green, I think. So,
Oh yeah. And you know what? When we do that Miley episode at some point, we will need to lean hard into the purity culture that was going
oh,
on
we'll
at this
have
time.
to. Yes. Oh, it's so sick. It's so.
Yeah, not just of the Disney Channel, but like that was a res like what was happening on Disney Channel at the time was a direct response to what was happening in society at that time. And like, yeah, we're gonna have to talk about
We absolutely will. Can't wait for that one. And I got an anon, by the way, saying we have to do Miley. So we are gonna
saw,
have
no,
to
I
do that.
saw it. That I
Yeah.
did. That's
Yeah,
what
yeah,
made
yeah.
me think of it. And like, absolutely, sign me up.
Yeah. The second verse of this song, Change Me, I really do not like. To me, this is starting to show Justin's just sort of inherent misogyny. He says, "Don't fight fire with fire. If I'm screaming, talk quieter." Understanding and patience, feel the pain that I'm facing, which to me just sounds like, hey, it doesn't matter if I get threatening and violent. You have to be the mature one to draw us back. You have to be the one to fix us. And I'm sorry, I just believe in my heart of hearts that Justin fucked up Selena so much because he had that attitude. Oh, it's natural for a man to be screaming and so upset. You're the one who has to, you have to change me. You have to fix it. You have to fix us. I'm not going to put the work in. You do it. And again, just a thesis. That's another
Yeah.
thesis on
And
Jelena, in my opinion.
I agree. And let's also remember that Justin was raised by an evangelical, intensely Christian, like almost abusively so. And that's what he was raised by. We can look at him and Haley now, and they are very, very religious. And I don't believe it's an act. You know, I think it is real.
Oh,
Um,
I
and I know,
agree.
and I know Selena has also talked about religion, and she's been, you know, very much into that. I don't know at the same level as Justin, though. So it makes sense to me that he would have that internalized misogyny because that comes directly out of the Bible. And for anybody listening, if I offended you, I'm sorry, but that is the truth.
I'm not gonna pull punches. If a certain religion has helped you, great, but that's particularly for me personally, Christianity has had such a horrible negative impact on my life as a queer person growing up in the Deep South.
Yeah, that one in
I just
particular.
yeah I just don't have a so we're not trying to be offensive, but we are just talking about culture and the culture that Justin grew up in. It's a misogynistic one, and it's showing here in this music. Again, there's another the pre-chorus for the last chorus. It says, "Be like serenity, help reposition my mind, take a chance, make a difference in my life." I mean, be like serenity to me, that's it's giving very much what they say to the Duggar girls in that that culture, the what is it called, the Quiverful culture, where they tell women to keep sweet. So
Oh
you are
God, I
basically just supposed
can't.
to acquiesce to your husband's every
See?
request, and you serve your brothers, you serve your father, and you do it with a smile on your face. Keep sweet. Be like serenity. Come on.
Yeah, it's
Fuck that.
submissive. It's giving very like your father, the man in your life is your covering. And then when you get married,
Oh
that
God.
responsibility shifts to your husband. And it's
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
I'm getting like hives just talking about it. It's not. No. And
Absolutely.
yeah, I think a lot of that does come out in his music. I think a lot of that behavior is what has been such a negative impact to their relationship in the past. And, you know, because Selena has her own beliefs and her own faith, that she is probably very torn of like, well, this is what it's supposed to be like, but like, no, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. One other song I want to comment on. And like I said, I think like almost every song besides the like ho songs on Journals is about Selena. Like, there's some party songs and some ho songs, but like, another one I want to mention is Roller Coaster. It's kind of more of the same. Come Here, I Don't Know What Happened, Where Did They Go, Nights Like This Don't Happen Anymore, I Need to Know, Is It Me, Did I Lose Control, Lonely Overseas, Only Memories, Wish I Had the Key to Your Heart, Please Come and Go, People Come and Go, Baby, They Don't Know What We Had Before, But It Fell Before Our Eyes, which goes back to, you know, There's Nothing Like Us. He really just puts this stuff up on a pedestal. And I think it's hard not to, right? You know, they're a pop prince and a pop princess. They belong together, you know, and they look so good on the magazine covers. A beautiful couple, right? And, you know, it sounds like the idea of Jelena, particularly for Justin, I don't know, you know, Selena, we get less personal music from her at this point, so I don't know, but particularly for Justin, he puts Jelena, their relationship, up on a pedestal, and I think there's more about we're so great, you know, we're on paper, we're a dream couple, a dream team, but he ignores, like, oh, when I'm yelling, you need to, you know, he says out the other side of his mouth, when I'm yelling, you've got to fix me. You need to change me. Calm me down. And, you know, I think after the, you know, I think just as it went bad, and I think as they mature and things get more complicated with sex and drugs and millions and millions and millions of dollars, it sours. And I don't think it ever unsours from that point. You know, wherever it sort of soured the first time, it never got better.
It doesn't. It's like a torn ACL. Like, it's never going to be the same, you know, like it's never going to be the same for that knee, for that relationship. And I can even say, looking back to when I was this age and I had a boyfriend, we started like, what if you want to call it dating? I don't even know if that, but like sixth grade. So that would have been like 11, 12 years old. Literally was with him from 11 to like early 20s. And yes, there
that
were
is
breakups.
So straight of you. That's incredible.
What it is.
We love straight representation here on the pod.
But it wasn't like all the way through, like it, what there, like we broke up and got back together. We did our own things. We went to college, you know, but I still, to this day, it's so easy for me to look back and do kind of what Justin is doing in this situation. It's like, oh my God, that was like the perfect, most pure love. Like, but you know, that's how you feel when you're 12, 13, 14, 17, like, and even into, you know, our early 20s, it was like, oh yeah, we're in the same town at the same time. Like, we're going to hang out, we're going to hook up, like whatever. But it, and there was always just that like little bit of magic of like, I've known this person since I was like a child, since 11 years old. And like, luckily it was not as chaotic or traumatic as what these two went through. Granted, like we weren't famous, obviously, but there is something to looking back on a relationship like that, where it's like, of course you're going to put it up on a pedestal, especially if you're like super emotional, which I agree with you. I think Justin is much more hard on the sleeve type. And that was me in my situation, to where like to this day, I can like look back, you know, and it's like, oh, but then it's like, no, like was actually a child,
right? And we just look back at things and romanticize it, and we just you know, we remember the good time. And you know, Justin, he's just sitting there, I think he's thinking about the idea of Jelena and not the reality of Jelena. The
right,
reality
exactly.
of Jelena is drugs and fights and probably great sex, like whatever, I don't know, but the image he has in his head of Jelena when he sees them on a magazine cover, the image that Scooter Braun is selling to people, is
right.
what he's writing about here. I mean, but it gets a little real, right? Like, in the other song, he's talking about, oh, when I'm screaming, you know, he's talking about their fights. He's commenting on it. But, like, I do think, you know, he really has trouble with this idea that, hey, maybe we weren't meant to be together. Like, he can't let it go. And and that just follows them. And they just always go back to each other.
Yeah. And I would also believe that they may have this
internal struggle with, if we weren't famous and we didn't have all these, you know, sharks and vultures surrounding us, and we just met like normal, not famous kids at a high school, like, would we still be together? Would we have made it? And I think that's a very realistic fantasy, if that oxymoron makes sense. But like, it's a very realistic fantasy that they probably grapple with on some level of like, you know, it reminds me of Taylor's lyric, if one thing had been different, would everything be different today? And I bet that shit keeps them up at night. And also lends itself to this timeline of like, Jesus, like, we're only in 2013, you guys. Like, we have to go all the way up to now, because I guarantee you, when this documentary comes out, we're gonna have to do another episode.
Oh, I think we will. Certainly at least a bonus episode, if not just a full one.
Right.
I want them to get back together, because I'm toxic and awful, and it would be so interesting to watch Jelena happen in real time. I never paid attention. I didn't know. I didn't used to care about pop culture. So, you know, take me to court. But I don't think it would be good for either of them. This is a very toxic. I'm going to have to do some good manifestations or light a candle or donate to Planned Parenthood to make up for this dream, this wish. But yeah. I do wish for them to get back together, even just for a week or something. Give me a little tea. Give me a little content.
Just a photo op. Just like,
please. Like, do a song together. That'd be crazy. Anyway, I don't like Hailey Bieber, so I don't really care. Like, come on. He doesn't want to be with her. He wants to be with Selena. Anyway, I feel like we've come to a good stopping point. We've covered this first set of music and this first set of the timeline. I am loving it. I feel like I'm having a blast doing this with you. I hope listeners, I hope you guys are all liking it. I feel like we have another episode, maybe two, left in us on Jelena.
We might have. Yeah, it might, because like, I'm looking at my notes, like, we haven't even gotten to 2014.
No.
And what we won't do is skip out on the 2017 buying drugs in LA.
Oh, absolutely not.
So we have more to go. We'll just see. Like, I will take this to the finish line as many episodes as it takes. I'm fine with it.
We'll keep cranking it out. And guys, I may intersperse in, we may jump in, I mean, if we're doing this, depending on how long, I may intersperse in some more some Taylor content, or like a gay sapphic celeb. I think we're gonna do a Sabrina Carpenter. I absolutely think there's something there. So that might, listen, stick around, you know, we will, if we do that many more episodes on Jelena, I'll break it up a little bit. But I'm loving it. I love the music analysis. I will, you know, so next week, I guess we'll come back. We'll cover like 2014, 2015, maybe 2016, and the music around there. I know we're going to have Revival from Selena, which I hope for it to be a little bit more confessional. I believe it is. And then I don't even know what from Justin, maybe a couple albums. So excited to dive into that.
Yeah. And on just like the straight, like, you know, my specialty, the gossip and the blind items, like 2014 is when we get the Selena, Justin Bieber, Orlando Bloom, Miranda Kerr drama. And if you know, you know. And if you don't know,
I don't know. And I cannot wait to hear about it. I can't wait to find out how all the music links up with what's going on. It's going to be a blast. With all that said, guys, let's make sure, please stay safe in 2022. Please get registered to vote. I'm in touch with somebody who's like actually works in like voting, and some tea about Taylor went up on the Patreon this past week. You might be interested in hearing if you haven't heard it yet. Please go to iwillvote.com, and that has information for all the states, and it's going to help you vote. We've got to be voting for our lives here. Also, other things going on in the Patreon right now, we're having a lot of fun. The other night when we were waiting for Taylor's TikTok to drop, we actually all got in voice chat, and me and Kara and a few other, you know, friends of the pod and new friends of the pod, some new people, were hanging out and talking. I think we had, what, 25 people, 30 people in there. So that was a really big time. If you know, when Taylor starts doing stuff at midnight, I'm staying up till midnight tonight. This is a Thursday, the 22nd. So we're hoping we get a song tomorrow, but, the Discord is going to be popping off. If you've never, you know, if you're a patron, but you haven't connected, made a Discord account, try it out. We'll help you get started. I'll tell you how to do it. Just DM me, you know, we'll figure it out. Cause we're having a lot of fun in there, and the community in there, just special shout out to you guys. Love you guys. We have so much fun. Thank you for, you know, being a part of this with me. Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss, and also M, say your little sign off too.
Oh, live, laugh, lurk, everybody.
Exactly, precisely. Bye, everybody.
Bye.